Well, how do the abductees, Joe, describe the inside of these crafts?
Well, you know, it's interesting because, well, let's pick a species here, and we'll just say the grays for sake of argument. Generally, what you're going to get from, like, say, a young abductee, say, between ages 13 and age 28, is you're going to usually get a room that's full of light, that seems to be seamless, with a reflective floor, and there doesn't seem to be any instrumentation or any type of tables present. And that's mainly because the positions they're in, they really don't get to see much. And they're not really remember much. Now, when you break up to the next phase of awakening, which starts around age 30, these contactees are giving you much more details. The room that the first, what they're describing when they're younger is, it's an oval-shaped room. It's more like it's kind of like a double-sided diamond. Because when you're looking, you can actually see through the floor translucently down several decks, from what I understand. Just as it's going down, it's almost like the center of the ship itself is translucent from top to bottom. Also, the walls are seamless. There doesn't seem to be any type of doors at all on these craft. It's either there's an open hallway, an open doorway, or as you approach it, the skin of the ship itself adjusts to the person moving in and out of it. It doesn't actually move away. You can actually physically pass in and out of it. Which I really found to be fascinating. It's no technologies we have, that's for sure.
Yeah, really.
But, you know, on the gray ship, you will never hear anybody describe any physical instrumentation. One of the problems I've had with Roswell, by the way. You will hear them describe things like that connect to your head, connect to your wrist, things that will read different rhythms in the body, things like the teacher where they put this thing on your head. And they coined the word from the teacher, by the way, from some Star Trek episode. But basically, what is it? It's a learning machine, and it's helping you to learn their language. And what I mean by their language is each contactee has a specific language back towards their keeper, which is a gray. That's a whole other thing in itself. But it goes back specifically to them. It also helps them to develop their telepathic abilities, things like that. It helps them to understand what the grays are doing here, what the program's about, what the breeding program's about, what the hybrid program's about. Things like that. But you don't see any buttons, any switches, any flips, any dials, anything like that. We're not getting these descriptions. Basically, the gray ship is described very clean inside, very sleek. The walls themselves, or they say that when you touch them, the ship responds to your touch. Like the skin of the ship itself is alive in some fashion or form.
I wonder, Joe, if where they are is the inside of something that's inside something bigger. So they don't see the machinery in the command post and the things necessary to keep this ship moving. Maybe they are just in this enclosed area in the middle or something.
Well, I'm sure some of them are, because we do have this. Well, the gray ships are described very strange. This is another abduction criteria, blue plasma, which is seen by pretty much all gray contactees. It's what the grays eat. They absorb it through their skin. I can literally tell you, I've had 3,000 plus contactees tell me this. They also immerse humans in this stuff to help revitalize them and to give them, I guess, energy, things like that. They also say this stuff feeds the ship's power supply, which I find interesting, and it's self-replicating. It's almost sentient in a form. It's alive. The plasma itself is definitely alive, and they say it's used for several things, but the gray ships are supposed to be almost mechanically. It's like the ship itself can change its skin layers. It can change its structure to manipulate what it needs at the time.
The ship is a shape shifter all by itself.
Well, yeah, basically that's what they're describing, because they can say that a lot of contactees will say it looks like a saucer as it's approaching, you know, landing. But when it's up and getting ready to go, it like stretches into an elongated saucer. And then it just simply disappears. So it's actually changing shape. So I'm assuming, which is a big assumption, that when it's stretching itself out like that, that must be when you're going to find anything dealing with any kind of hard mechanical stuff or engine and stuff like that. But, you know, no one really understands their technology as far as I know. Now, you see, when they describe the reptilians and the humans, they describe a much more physical-type technology, more like inside of like an aircraft carrier or something. They're describing it in a much more, lower sophisticated technology than what the grays have.
How do people know, Joe, how do they really know if they've been abducted? Are they having bad dreams? Do they stumble into some hypnosis? How do they know?
Well, I'll be honest with you. When someone comes up and says, hey, I'm an abductee, I'm like, okay, nice to meet you. Usually, it's not something you're going to realize right away. It usually does manifest itself first in dream form. Usually, it'll start having a physical manifestation after that. The way you're going to know is you're going to come to a point where nothing else is going to explain the things that are happening to you. Nothing. You can go to, and we tell people all the time, we refer people to psychologists, we send them to doctors, because, you know, people will call us and tell us they have these weird things going on in life. Well, we'll tell them, you know, go get a CAT scan done, go get pretty much a complete
physical. Get the medical thing taken care of first.
After that's out the way, we will have them meet with a psychologist, talk with a psychologist, work with them, because a lot of times you can bring out stuff just by talking to a psychologist. And to be honest with you, George, probably one out of every 10 people who come in actually turn out to be a contactee. And you'll be surprised at some of the stuff like molestation and all that people cover up as an abduction.
Yeah.
And we run into that a lot, but, you know, we have to go through them. But the thing of it is that's what it comes down to. When you can simply rule away every other thing that it can be, and that's, you know, stuff like sleep paralysis, things like that. Once you can rule all this out and it's not a dream or an illusion or some kind of drug-induced something or another, then you can move on from that point. And I notice with most people, it's almost like a relief. When they finally realize that this is a real phenomenon and this is something real going on in their lives change overnight. These people become much more stable, much more reliable, much more goal-orientated. So, you know, it's one of the reasons we have an online support group. Because we find people all the time that are dealing with this and don't have anybody to talk to about it. You know, and it's rough. I mean, if you're a contactee, I mean, you don't want to go tell your husband or your son or your coworker, hey, look, aliens are picking me up, because they're going to look at you like you lost your mind.
What about children? Are children getting abducted?
Well, that's an interesting thing, because for us to be a true abductee or a true contactee, you have to be lifelong. See, for like Travis Walton, we consider Travis Walton to have been abducted, but not to be an abductee or a contactee.
Right, right.
And for us, it starts before birth in the mother's womb. Your first abduction is when they pick up your mother and or testing her while she's pregnant with you. The first memories usually show around age 4 or 5, and then they'll change and vary. What I find interesting is kids, 4 and 5, 6 years old, regardless what type of alien you're talking about, usually like them. So that's interesting in itself. But at puberty, the types of experiments they run with the kids become much more aggressive from about, from, you know, 13, 11, 12, 13 to about 25, 26, 27. They're running a much more aggressive routine on these people.